Welcome here. We're continuing our conversation into mental health and what that looks like biblically, and want to, again, set the table that we're not going to be able to cover every single thing when it comes to this particular conversation. It's an opportunity for us as a church and individuals to come alongside and to hear about this as well, and to help equip ourselves and also look at Scripture and how we can lean into the Lord and also recognize that this is a real thing that people go through. And I've gotten texts this past week after last week's sermon about just how timely this has been for many people. And so know that. You may come this morning and be like, well, this doesn't pertain to me. And I want to encourage you to have an open spirit about this, because perhaps you can be an encouragement for someone else in your life that is going through something as well. So just keep that in mind as we go through this together. And so this morning, we're going to have a lot of scripture, but our main scripture we'll look at is from Philippians 4, verses 4 to 13. The verses will be on the screen if you have your Bible there as well. Yeah, you can pop those open or your device. And I want to encourage you too, if you have a Bible, bring it to church. Bring it to church. It's good. I mean, don't get me wrong, the devices are good, but there's something about holding your Bible. Amen? Because one day, we don't know if those Bibles are going to be around. So let's keep that in mind. So bring in a Bible if you can. I love it when people crack open their Bibles and highlight stuff and write in their Bibles, and that's what it's for. So keep that in mind as well. Again, Philippians 4, verses 4 to 13. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord. And at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Now, we live in a world where there's constant stress and there's constant things going on. And these scriptures here remind us that we can rejoice in the Lord always. We can walk with him and we can know that he is with us. But as we think about life, as we think about anxiety and stress and the anxiousness that comes for us and the worry that we all deal with individually and collectively, our well-being is important. Our mental health is important. And we need to understand that as well. And God is walking with us both individually and as a church community as well. And we know this. The Bible is very clear about this as well. We've experienced this in our day-to-day life, that there's no escaping life's troubles. Life is full of trouble. We can all say an amen and hallelujah to that. We've all experienced different things. But the Bible tells us that Jesus said that this world would give us much trouble, that we'd have much hardship. There'd be trials and tribulations. And what does God say about that? He doesn't say after the fact when we read those scriptures, he doesn't simply say, get over it, deal with it. And I mentioned last week a mantra that's often used when people go through tough times and someone perhaps comes to you and is going through something. Perhaps your mantra has been, suck it up, buttercup. I've said that last week. And perhaps we've said that to someone. Not a great thing to be saying. And Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say those things at all. Matter of fact, he said to everybody, take heart. He said to take heart, to be encouraged and to be hopeful, because Jesus has overcome every obstacle in this world. And because of our faith, we can lean into that and to take heart. I hope this morning you can take heart in the midst of whatever you are going through, or perhaps a loved one as well. And if we're honest with each other, anxiety and despair and stress and worry, it's often easier to deal with than said, isn't it? We can say it's so easy to deal with, but it's hard to do practically, because it's right in front of us. We deal with it day to day. Then how do we manage that? How do we able to get through this and not just get through it, but actually thrive through these difficult circumstances that we all have. You know, the Bible talks about this and this idea of rejoicing in the Lord. And mental health is something that we all go through. All of us have a life, and there's different things that people go through. And I mentioned this last week that it's okay if you are going through things to get professional help, to see a therapist, to see a Christian counselor, to go on medication if that's the case. There's nothing wrong with those things. And I talked about how 1 in 5 people struggle with some sort of mental health issue, whether it's depression, anxiety, PTSD. The list goes on and on and on. And again, I mentioned this before, I'm not an expert. I've dealt with many people that are going through different things in their families and lives individually, and I continue to do that. But I certainly don't have all the answers. But I can provide hope through the scriptures and through the life of Christ. And oftentimes I will refer people to professional counselors that can deal with this in a much deeper way than I can. And maybe that's you this morning. And you've come and you've actually perhaps felt maybe this shame or this guilt or condemnation that you can't receive help, that you can't share your struggle within the body of Christ, that you can't even go to Jesus because you think you're not good enough. And I want to say to you that you can go to the Lord Jesus Christ about these things. You can go to others as well and finding that safe place where you can share your heart and your struggle as well. And sometimes these struggles we go through are short-term things that happen to us. It could be as simple as being in a car accident and how that causes anxiety for us. Maybe there's long-term things that happen to us as well, that there's unresolved conflict going in our life or unresolved health issues that cause us negative and physical emotions. I'm not sure about you, on Saturday morning when I woke up and I looked outside, it was smoky. It was very smoky. And maybe for some of us, that smoke brought back some memories of what happened last year for us with the evacuations and the stress that caused many people and the anxiety. I know some of us went through it with, you know, the idea of just, I'm just going to buck it up. It's okay. No big deal. The fires are not a huge thing. And that's your perspective, and that's fine. But others struggled through it. And maybe the smoke was a reminder of what took place last year. And are you prepared this year mentally, emotionally, spiritually, to deal with what's ahead? We don't know what's ahead. And it doesn't have to be the fires. It can be anything in our life. There's surprises that happen all the time. But are we willing to walk through those things and come along others? If somebody came up to you yesterday and said to you that the smoke caused them some anxiety, how would you have responded? You know, that's where the empathy comes in. And our anxiety can be real for many people, and how we interact with that is really important. The Bible talks about this too, and how anxiety and troubles can bring us pain and struggle. And here's some scriptures to look at as well. The Lord says this. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Are you crushed in spirit today? And the Lord comes near us when we're brokenhearted, when we're going through difficult times, the seen and the unseen. Ephesians 3:17-19 says this, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, and how deep is the love of Christ, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God." It's amazing when you think about that, to know the knowledge of Christ, the love that he has for us. Proverbs 12:25, "Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up." It's amazing when somebody's going through something and how we can come alongside with a kind word of support, and that goes so far, and we just don't know what the difference it makes. Proverbs 16:24, "Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." I'm going to say that again. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. See, our words matter, and when people are going through different things in life, what we say matters. And maybe someone has said something to you in your anxiety, your stress, and your worry that hasn't been helpful. Maybe they're well-meaning, and they tag with company line and just said what they thought would be helpful, but it wasn't necessarily helpful in the case. I want to encourage you as well that we would come alongside. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." That's alluding to Jesus. We cast our anxiety to him. See, Scripture doesn't always tell us how to do these things, but we have Scripture here that clearly tells us there's guidance in the struggles we go through. And as we think about mental health, it can cause weariness and worry and fear, and it causes us phobias as well. And we can look at that this morning and talk about how these anxieties can cover up a large area of our emotions. And we have a tendency sometimes to turn on the switch on and off with people. We're one way publicly, but deep down inside, privately, we are struggling mightily. And these manifestations of anxiety create compromise in our bodies, in our minds, in our spiritual lives as well. And it causes us to run away from God rather than running towards him. And I want to encourage this morning that we can run towards the Lord. And we think about God's word, and we have to understand this too, that we are in a spiritual battle. The Bible tells us this clearly. The enemy will do anything he can to dissuade us, to go after our souls, to discourage us, to tell us we're not worthy, to tell us we're not good enough, to tell us we don't matter. And the beautiful thing about all of that, we aren't good enough, but not because of our guilt or shame, because we aren't good enough because of sin, but you know who made that right? Jesus did. And that's the power of the cross. That's the power of the resurrection. So when the enemy reminds you of your past, remind him of his future, because he has none. And he knows that. And we are in a spiritual battle, and please know that. So we got to take our thoughts captive to understand what we're saying to ourselves, to understand the enemy is trying to whisper lies about us and who we are. Our focus should remain continuing on God and who he is in our lives as well. And when we are weak, and I've mentioned in Scripture many times, but when we are weak, that's when we are at our best, because God can work in and through us. Your weakness does not mean you're a bad Christian. Your anxiety that you're feeling, your PTSD, your worry, your anxiousness does not mean you're a bad person. I hope you know that. And the Bible tells us this. This is the Apostle Paul. But he said this to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me." Do you need the power of Christ to rest on you today? I think we all do. All of us. And there's nothing wrong with admitting that, because I'd rather be in a space where I'm leaning completely on Jesus than on my own strength, my own wisdom. Because when I'm there, and we're all there, we're not relying on ourselves. We're not relying on our flesh. We're relying on the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. As we think about this, and when Paul was writing this letter that we looked at this morning, and there's lots of conflict going on between the Jewish leadership, and Paul was under house arrest as well when he wrote this letter. And in the midst of being under house arrest, he continues to preach the gospel. But there are people in this context that were not preaching the gospel. They were preaching something contradicting to the gospel. And Paul was challenging that. And he was having much trouble because of what he was going through, because he was speaking the truth. And this is what Philippians 1 says, verses 15 to 18. "It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice." See, when Paul writes letters, he often is in a bad place when he's writing them in prison. He's not going through well. And he tells us in the midst of all these things to rejoice, to know that God is near us. And for us, as we look about life and we look about what's going on, he focused on the gospel. He continued to preach the gospel as well. But he's calling us as well to have joy and to be content in all circumstances. And I know that's such an easy thing to say. I understand that. But we have to ask ourselves the question, when we are trying to be content in our day-to-day life and the things that are hard, what are we substituting in our life that is trying to replace God that we think we'll find our contentment in? See, I think we try to find our contentment in things that are worldly, that are earthly, that are full of vapor, that aren't sustainable, that aren't life-giving. Maybe for a temporary moment, we might feel good. And those things may fill us for a moment to feel good. Social media can do that for us. post something online and we get all these likes. We post a picture about ourselves, we get all these likes and comments, and those things are okay. But when we look for those things to fill us and try to fulfill our heart, we're not going to be content for very long. Our true contentment comes when we are in Christ, fully knowing that he's watching us and walking with us. We are doing what we can to put him back in the throne of our lives. And I think when we do that, and I'm not saying it's going to alleviate everything we go through, but it gives us a focus. It helps us look past what we're dealing with in front of us, and we look at life through the lens of eternity to know Jesus is still walking with me in the midst of my pain and my struggle. Yes, what I'm feeling this morning and what I'm feeling at nighttime or when I'm sleeping, I feel numb inside. My hands are tingly. I'm tired. I'm crying. I'm tired. We feel those things. But in the midst of that, we know that Jesus is still walking with us. And I want to encourage you in that he is still walking with you. If you're a Christ follower this morning, that is a true statement for you. Philippians 4:11-13 says this, I'm not saying this because I am in need. Again, this is the Apostle Paul talking. For I've learned to be content whatever circumstances. I know what it is to be in need and know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living or plenty, or in want, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Again, I mentioned that earlier, but we need to understand that the Bible doesn't shy away from these conversations as well about anxiety and depression. It happens. It's real for people. The Apostle Paul went through it as well to understand that. And other folks in the New Testament and Old Testament went through it too. And God walks with us. The Psalms are filled with laments of pain, of struggle. And we can read that through David. Paul actually confessed that he was so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we were despaired of life itself. 2 Corinthians talks about that. So let's realize that. But Paul goes on to say as well that we do not rely on ourselves, but we rely on God who raised from the dead. And we see that in Scripture. 2 Corinthians, I'm going to read a lot of verses here, but I want you to listen to what it says here. In the context, understand that, yes, there's going to be trouble in this life. And again, Paul was so distressed, like I mentioned, that he was running out of strength and life in itself. He was burdened. We forget that about the Apostle Paul. Yes, arguably one of the greatest missionaries ever, but he struggled as well. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. I just want you to hear these words. Praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so we can comfort those in any troubles with the comfort we ourselves received from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comforts abound through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort which produces in you patience, endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience in the province of Asia. We are under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not only rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such deadly peril, and he'll deliver us again. On him, we have set our hope that he'll continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, that many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in the answers to the prayers of many. You know, powerful words here. When we think about, here it's again, we are under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. Do you ever feel like that? Under so much pressure, you don't know if you can endure anymore. And this is the Apostle Paul saying this. Be encouraged that you can continue to endure. And it goes on to say again, this happened. We do not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. The power of God that raises the dead gives us the power of hope in this life that we face every single day. And it says again, we are set our hope that we continue that he'll deliver us. Do you have your hope in Christ? See, we can feel helpless in this life. And there's times where we've probably felt that, but we can have hope. We don't need to feel hopeless. We can feel helpless at times because you don't know what to do. You don't have all the answers. You don't know what the next step's going to be. You don't know what door is going to open, what door is going to close. And there are moments like that where we are going to feel helpless. But in the midst of that journey, we don't need to feel hopeless because of Jesus. That isn't a tagline. That isn't the Sunday school answer. It's the biblical answer because it's true. Do you know that peace this morning? So we have to recognize, too, our thoughts matter. We're not meant to face these battles alone. And what we say to ourselves matters. Our self-talk matters. What we focus on matters. That's why we got to take captive every thought that we have. And we need to understand that we're in this together. And I've mentioned this before. When we think about mental health and the struggles we go through, we cannot do this on an island to ourselves. We need to involve trusted people, whether it's professionals or family members, that we carry this burden together, that we pass the baton on together, we work together. That's the way we get through these things, by being in community. Our vulnerability with one another goes a long ways. I believe our vulnerability goes a lot further than our perfection, because none of us are perfect. And if you think this morning you're perfect, I got news for you. You're not. None of us are. And that's the beauty of Christ. We come in our imperfections to Jesus, and he redeems us because of the cross. We come in our weaknesses. But if we think about people that are going through different things, we can come alongside and we can help others as well. How well do you do that today? How well of a vessel of love are you for others? How well do you listen to people when they talk? Are we waiting to give somebody an answer versus just listening? Are we a good friend to somebody that's going through different things? Are we asking the right questions? And maybe you don't know what to do, but your presence matters. See, Paul, when he wrote this letter too, he was in community with other believers, and he was sharing his struggle with such honesty, and that brought people together, because as the body of Christ, we need one another. We can't do this by ourselves. That's why we're called the body of Christ, not the solo of Christ. We're together in community, and we can benefit from one another as we pray together, as we support each other through different spiritual issues, mental health issues, whatever the struggle may be. And in the midst of this as well, if somebody does come to you, and I've said this before, that we would never label anyone either. If someone is struggling with something that's mental health related, we don't label them as this is who they are. We come alongside with compassion and empathy as best as we can. And I think that's one of the challenges and the struggles for people that struggle. Because once they share, maybe they've been labeled in the past and they've been hurt by others. And there's no compassion. There's no empathy. And you might go, well, I don't know what to do because I've never gone through it myself. So I'm not sure how to relate to the person. Well, you don't need all the answers. You just need to be present. And you can say to someone quite honestly, I don't know how to help you. I don't have all the answers, but I will stand beside you. That goes a lot further than us trying to put our foot in our mouth and maybe making things worse, even though we mean well. And that person just simply needs us to know we are there for them. The Apostle Paul had that. And many in Scripture have that as well. And when you look at the Psalms again, we see moments of joy, we see sorrow, disillusionment, we see pain, we see struggle. But in the midst of our pain, the Lord is walking with us. So as we think about this morning, and he obviously knows what you're going through. Jesus knows what you are dealing with. And you've been praying about something for a long time. You've been asking for the Lord's guidance and help, and you haven't received an answer. Or perhaps you haven't received the answer you were looking for. And those things are hard. They're not easy. But I want to spur you on again to make sure that we're focusing on the right things as well, that we practice learning to focus on God, that we would speak our hearts to him. See, when we look at the laments in Scripture, I think they're there for an example for us to lament, to tell him how we feel, to journal how we feel, to tell him the pain we're in. See, he sees our hearts, and it's okay to be that real with God. I've done it. Perhaps you've done it. And there's something about that that allows us to come into our weaknesses in front of the Lord, in our stress, in our struggle, and be completely vulnerable in that moment in front of him. There's something about that that draws us closer to him as well. So be honest with Jesus. You're not going to surprise him. He can handle it. That's why it says to cast all our anxiety and burdens to him. He knows our struggle. Now, we think about these things in the scripture we looked up as well, and it talked about focusing on things that are important. It talks about whatever, focusing on whatever is true. So what are we thinking about when we think about something that's true? You know, where we start there, the truth of scripture, that we look at the Bible for our support and encouragement as well, that we focus on those things. Where are you finding your truth from this morning? What are you filtering your truth through? Do you have a biblical worldview? Do you have a Christian worldview? Or do you have an earthly worldview that is tainted amongst the things in this world that are going to lead us down the road that is not going to be healthy? What about noble? Thinking of those things with reverence and aspiring of who God is. And those things that are noble and worthy of our life. What are we focusing on there? What is right? The justice of God in our lives. And to know that even though we might be looking for deliverance in our moment of what we're going through, we still know that God is fair and just in the midst of our pain. And I think we often will say to ourselves, if we're honest, life isn't fair. I think we all relate to that. And you might be asking, where is God in the midst of this? And many of us have looked for vengeance or a quick delivery today on this earth, and maybe you haven't received that. Maybe you won't receive it for a long time. But that's, again, where the hope of Christ comes in, where we have to look at life through the lens of eternity to know that he is still with us. Whatever is pure, what am I dwelling on? Am I dwelling on things that are undefiled? Am I dwelling on things that are not pure, that are not clean? The words we say in our hearts that nobody else sees? The actions, what we do in our workplaces that nobody else sees? The things we watch on TV, the things we watch on our computers, the things we read, what are those things we're focusing on? These things matter because these infiltrate our minds and our hearts, and all that garbage can help us get our focus off of Jesus and onto the things that are not life-giving. Now, when I say these things, there's not a condemnation in my comments, but an encouragement to look at the things that are pure and holy. And if that means you have to make major decisions in your life to get there, then you need to do those things because you have to ask the question, is this worth what I'm getting out of it? Is it worth it? What is lovely? Something that is pleasing and winsome. But what's important is to know that Christ is lovely. His word is lovely. And who he is to worship is lovely as well. And being admirable, meaning that we are willing to walk in such a way that we are admiring Christ and his love for us too. And to know this, that we're doing this with excellence and being praiseworthy in this as well. And Paul says this in the scripture, that we would meditate on these things. See, meditation and thinking through it means intent. To actually make it purposeful. And to focus on what God is saying to us, the thoughts that we dwell on. And to replace those thoughts with the thoughts that are biblical. Because the enemy, again, and the people around us might use thoughts that hold us captive and in prison. Perhaps you were told you're not good enough. Maybe you're told you weren't beautiful enough. You weren't funny enough. Whatever the blank might be for you, what does that look like for you? I remember growing up in high school, and I think I've shared this before, I'll share it again, that many people in my life thought I was going to be nothing in this world. I was going to end up on the streets. I was going to be homeless. I heard that over and over and over again from people. And they would tell me that you're worthless and you're not going to become anything in this world. And I'm pretty much taking space up. And when I heard those things, I started to meditate on those things and focus on those things. And I almost started believing it. And of course, my life turned around because of Jesus. And I've gotten to the habit of taking my thoughts and giving them to Jesus. Because of who he is, we can all say that, yes, we can't do this life on our own. And maybe there's voices that have told us we're not good enough. Get over your stress. Get over your PTSD. Get over your anxiety. Get over your worry. But that's just not the case, because many of you today are struggling with that. Now, as I wrap this up quickly, there's a lot to consider this morning. And the whole purpose of this series is to dive, again, mentioned before, we can't go super deep into the weeds, but just to give us a baseline, to get the conversation going, to encourage one another as well. And that's the whole hope of this series, is to encourage you, to remind you as well. Now, when I think of a stress and anxiety and all the things we go through, it's easy to focus on the things that are hard. And I think we have a tendency to do that, can't we? We can focus on the things that are so terrible, but we forget what the good things are in front of us. See, being alive this morning and waking up this morning and being here this morning is a blessing. Do you believe that? Or do you take your life so much for granted that, yeah, I'm going to wake up tomorrow? We don't know what the future holds. So the life we've been given, we should have a spirit of gratitude. And I think one of the ways it helps alleviate some of the stress, some of the anxiety, some of the things we go through, is to focus on those things, again, that I mentioned in the scripture that'll help us stay in that space that allows the Holy Spirit to lead us. Now, it doesn't mean that this is going to take away what we're feeling or take away what we've been struggling with for years. I'm not suggesting that, but what I'm going to suggest is this. Maybe we need to take a moment to spend some time in gratitude. Instead of focusing on the things we don't have, let's focus on the things that we do have. So I'm providing a worksheet for us this morning, and they'll be on the back table as you leave. It's simply a gratitude journaling. There's some prompts here and some questions that I have for all of us. Feel free to take a copy home. And if we run out of copies, let me know. I'll make copies right away. There's about 28 questions on here. Just simple questions. I'll give you an example. Where did you see God moving today in your day? Just a simple question. There's another question. Name a favorite childhood memory. And there's plenty like that. What's your favorite promises of who God is? See, I think it's important to take a time out once in a while. And I know folks that actually have a journal of gratitude, that they write down the things in their life, especially when they're dealing with so much stuff that they feel so overwhelmed, that they actually write things down. So I'm going to encourage you today. And if you are feeling like, oh, whatever, get over it, I want to do this, I think you're the one who needs to do it then. If you are being negative about this right now, you're one of the ones who needs to do it then. I encourage you to take a piece of paper home today. Do it with your spouse. Do it with a friend. Do it by yourself. You don't have to answer all the questions, but go for it. And ask the Spirit to lead you as you do it as well. Maybe there's some things that will come up in your heart that you haven't even considered. I think it goes a long ways to have an attitude of gratitude, especially when it comes to dealing with our mental health. Because we get so focused on the things that are so hard, and we feel overwhelmed, and I understand that. But I want to offer this simple exercise to give you an opportunity to do these things for your soul and your spirit, but also share these things with someone, too, that you find a safe space with, that you can do that with as well. So again, they're in the back. After our last song, you can grab a sheet, and I'd be curious to see what you receive out of this. And if you have any questions about it, I'd love to meet with you as well. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you that the Apostle Paul could write such encouraging words even in the midst of a troubled life. And Lord, we know it says to rejoice always, to know that the Lord is near. And I pray, Lord, this morning that would be such a real promise for every single person here in person and those watching online as well. I pray, Jesus, that you would bring relief for those folks who are dealing with a deep sense of anxiety and stress today in the secret place of their hearts that nobody else knows. That you would bring comfort, that you would bring a reminder of your word, that in the midst of this, you would show us how to be content even when life is so hard. God, I know you don't look down upon us and condemn us for how we feel. And I thank you for that. I thank you that you're not a God that's out to get us. And I pray in the midst of this journey together, folks can find a safe place to share and to talk and to pray and to be encouraged by what you're doing. So thank you for each person here today, for those watching online, for the work you're doing in the privacy of our hearts right now. And Lord, I pray also that people would know that our worth does not come through anything else in this world. It doesn't come through our bank accounts. It doesn't come through our titles. It doesn't come through our reputation. It doesn't come those things that one day will be gone. But our identity and our worth comes through Jesus Christ. The power of the resurrection. The reminder of the empty tomb. And yes, one day, Lord, you will return. And in the midst, you told us that life will be full of tribulation and trouble, but we would take heart. So Jesus, I pray that it's true for us this morning. And I also pray in the name of Jesus Christ that if the enemy is coming to try to destroy us, which it tells us in the word that he is, that any plans he has over each individual, over this church, over this world that we live in, I pray those strongholds will be broken in Jesus' name. And your kingdom would continue to grow. We ask this all in the strong name of Jesus.